Okay, good evening, everyone. Thank you all for coming. Today, I will be presenting on adverse childhood experiences and cancer diagnosis, and I have no relationships to disclose. So to give an overview, I will first give a background on adverse childhood experiences, my rationale and aims for the study, what we hypothesized, what we did, what we found. We'll also have a discussion, and also we'll talk about our limitations and conclusions. So adverse childhood experiences represent a child's exposure to negative events, and these can include physical abuse, sexual abuse, or psychological abuse, witnessing domestic violence, divorce or separation of parents, and also family members' characteristics. So for example, if a child lives with someone who has a mental illness or lives with someone who has been incarcerated or has a substance abuse issue, whether alcohol or drugs. So the CDC reports that among respondents from the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, approximately 60% reported experiencing at least one adverse childhood event, and approximately 1 in 4 reported experiencing at least 3 events, and around 9% reported experiencing at least 5 adverse childhood experiences. These prevalence estimates actually highlight the importance for additional efforts to help in the reduction of child maltreatment and the associated family dysfunction that we see. So adverse childhood experiences, they are linked to multiple adverse outcomes, and the events are interrelated rather than occurring independently. So some of the multiple adverse outcomes that have been linked to adverse childhood experiences include substance abuse, depression, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, lung and ovarian cancer, suicidality, risky sexual behaviors, sexually transmitted infections, and premature mortality. So in terms of the potential mechanisms, traumatic experiences during childhood may actually have neurodevelopmental impacts over the lifespan. So research has shown that stress or trauma during childhood has actually been linked with smoking behavior. And a study showed that respondents who reported experiencing at least 6 adverse childhood experiences had a 3 times increased risk for lung cancer. And this was only partially explained by smoking. So this suggests that the association between ACEs and cancer could be due to mechanisms in which stressors and trauma during childhood negatively affect health. And another study also showed that adverse events before age 8 in children were associated with inflammation or high levels of inflammation at age 10. So the association between adverse childhood experiences and diagnosis of all cancers up to this point using a population-based sample has not been done. And our primary aim was to examine the association between ACEs and cancer diagnosis, and our secondary aim was to examine the association between abusive and non-abusive adverse childhood experiences and cancer. We hypothesized that we would see a positive graded relationship between ACEs and cancer, and a positive relationship between abusive ACEs and cancer. So what did we do? We used the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, and this is the largest ongoing telephone survey in the US. And in 2010, Wisconsin was actually the only state that included the optional ACE module and cancer survivorship module. 542 respondents refused, or they were not asked questions on ACEs and or cancer diagnosis, and our final sample size was 4,239. Cancer diagnosis was operationalized by the question, have you ever been told by a doctor or nurse or other health professional that you had cancer? So this table just shows the types of adverse childhood experiences, the related questions, and the operational definitions. So we hypothesized 2 constructs, abusive and non-abusive ACEs, And for abusive, the questions included if a parent or adult in the home swore at the respondent, insulted them or put them down. It also included questions on sexual abuse, so if they were touched sexually, if they were forced to touch someone sexually, or if they were forced to have sex, and also included physical abuse if they were physically hurt before age 18. And non-abusive included living with someone who was mentally ill, who was a problem drinker, who used and abused drugs, if they lived with someone who was incarcerated, if their parents were divorced, and if they witnessed domestic violence in the home. So for our analytic approach, all the analyses we did considered the Breathless Complex multi-stage sampling strategy, and each potential confounder was placed in each model with the overall abusive and non-abusive ACEs as separate exposures. And if the confounder changed the effect of the ACEs, then that confounder was retained for the next iteration. We used multivariable logistic regression models, and we obtained our adjusted odds ratios and 95% confidence intervals, and we adjusted for age, gender, race, ethnicity, income, educational status, marital, and insurance status. And what did we find? So the weighted prevalence of ACEs was 62.3%. So 42.8% of the sample reported abusive ACEs, and around 44% reported non-abusive ACEs. Approximately 3 in 4, or approximately 75% of respondents who were exposed to ACEs reported experiencing abusive and non-abusive ACEs. So the weighted cancer prevalence was 10%. So 10% of the sample reported having a cancer diagnosis, 9.3% of the sample reported adulthood cancer, and only 0.2% reported childhood cancer. So that pie chart just shows the percentage of all cancers. So 98.5% of all cancers were adulthood cancers, and 1.5% of all cancers were childhood cancers. So table 2 shows the distribution of socio-demographic characteristics of the respondents by exposure to ACEs, abusive and non-abusive ACEs, and I'm just going to point out a few things. So for example, we see that 38% of those who reported to be exposed to ACEs were 50 or older. And we see majority of the respondents, around 52%, reported an income of between 15 and 50,000, and around 13% reported to be not insured. So this table shows the association between overall ACEs and when we separated into abusive and non-abusive ACEs. So for the overall ACEs, we found that those respondents who reported to be exposed to two ACEs were actually 66% more likely to report cancer diagnosis, and those who reported three or more were 46% more likely to report cancer diagnosis. We did not see any statistically significant results for the abusive ACEs as we had hypothesized, but for the non-abusive ACEs, we actually found that those who reported one, they were actually 50% more likely to report cancer diagnosis, and those who reported three or more were 80% more likely to report cancer diagnosis. So in our iteration of models, we actually found that age was the main confounder, and here we did not see a graded relationship between ACEs and cancer as reported by Brown. That's not me, that's another Brown. As reported by Brown for the risk of lung cancer. But these findings actually support our previous finding, and that one is me, so that's me. We found that ACEs are actually related to cancer, but in that case, we used principal component analysis, so we used another method. But we did find that there is an overall association between ACEs and cancer. And the association between ACEs and cancer may be attributable to mechanisms in which trauma and stressors during childhood negatively affect health. So ACEs may actually result in more risky behaviors, as we saw previous research showing ACEs related to smoking. And these stressors may alter fundamental biological functions as well. So this is just a diagram showing the potential mechanisms that I just spoke about. So for example, the stressor could lead to health behavior, so an increase in smoking, for example, and this can lead to tumor growth, and this can, and this is of course, can lead to cancer. And then the stressor could also go another pathway, and this could result in mutations, for example, and that can influence tumor growth and then influence cancer. And this was actually taken from a paper published by Kelly Irvin this year. So statistically significant association was seen between non-abusive ACEs and cancer. And these findings highlight the notion that non-abusive ACEs should not be neglected in future research on adverse childhood experiences. More studies should be done, perhaps separating abusive and non-abusive ACEs to determine if they are risk factors for certain types of adverse health outcomes. We did have some limitations, so we were not able to determine the age of exposure to these adverse childhood events. The temporal sequence between ACEs and cancer was unclear, but only for 1.5% of the cancers. So only for the childhood cancers were we not able to determine the temporal sequence, but for majority of the cancers, which were adulthood, we were able to establish that. And there could also be potential underreporting of ACEs due to desirability bias. And if this was non-differential misclassification of exposure, what we actually see here would actually be underestimates of what would be the true association. So the results show an association between overall ACEs, non-abusive ACEs, and cancer diagnosis, and ACE screening should be implemented perhaps during routine healthcare examinations for children and adults so as to identify those persons at risk for chronic illnesses, and studies should endeavor to recruit larger samples of respondents who are childhood cancer survivors, for example, and by doing this we'll be able to determine if the association between ACEs and cancer actually initiates in childhood. And these are my references. And I'd like to thank Dr. Stephen Coyne, who is here. Thank you for coming. My advisor, Dr. Thacker, who has helped me in previous research on ACEs and cancer, Dr. Mezzot, and also the Department of Family Medicine and Population Health at BCU. And that's it. Yes, age at diagnosis. So there was a question that asked about at what age were you diagnosed. So the adulthood cancers were 18 years and older, and then childhood was 17 and under.
Another clarifying question.
Yes.
Were you able to determine what cancers were diagnosed, or was it just strictly cancer, yes, no?
Yes, so this was strictly yes, no. I also decided to look at different cancers, but the sample size was so small because Wisconsin was the only state that asked both questions. So that was, I actually looked into that.
Exogenous and endogenous, what you're doing is more related to endogenous.
Right.
Kinds of things.
Right.
So you could exclude skin cancer versus
right.
Endogenous and what is bigger biological plausibility model.
Right, so right. Thank you. Yes.
Do you have any theories why you saw the relation, that correlation relationship between non-abusive ACEs in cancer, whereas you didn't with the abusive ACEs in cancer?
Yeah, I think that's a good question, because actually I think there are certain abusive experiences that lead to cancer, but perhaps not all abusive experiences. So the previous study that we did, where we used the principal component analysis, we actually found that sexual abuse actually increase the odds of cancer diagnosis. So this is saying to us that maybe over, like the abusive experiences overall might not increase cancer diagnosis, but we found that sexual abuse, for example, does. But for the non-abusive experiences, it's based on what we found here, I think it's more likely, it could be more likely the risky behaviors, that's one type, and as they showed before, that adverse childhood experiences are also associated with lung cancer, for example. So so in terms of why exactly the abusive and non-abusive, I think it depends on the definition, because we saw an association with sexual abuse, but for non-abusive experiences, it also could be the number, because we did the scoring, so the number of experiences could also be one of the reasons why you see that.
Yeah, I was going to say, the literature that I've seen about abuse is a compounding effect.
Exactly, right? So yes, yeah.
That would make sense.
Yeah, thank you.